Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. With its inclusion in Vision Tulsa and the work over the past few years in developing a comprehensive master plan, today Tulsa Transit stands at a crossroads. My guest today is Tulsa Transit's Assistant General Manager, Debbie Ruggles. She joins us today to talk about the expected impact of finally having a dedicated source of funding for our bus system, something most cities of our size already have. In this 0.085% initiative under Vision Tulsa, it will fund two bus rapid transit lines with fixed stations and 15-minute frequencies, one along Peoria from the north side to South Tulsa, the other the 11th Street corridor from downtown to far east Tulsa. A more fully funded downtown circulator bus and a new midtown circulator would also occur, and for the first time ever, Sunday service. Debbie Ruggles will be participating in an Oklahoma Watch public forum this evening, Oklahoma Watch, a nonprofit journalism center. They'll be having a forum on the future of transit in Tulsa tonight at 6 at Central Center at Central Park near 6th and Peoria. She'll be appearing along with James Wagner, the transportation specialist from NCOG. And Debbie Ruggles joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Debbie Ruggles, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Cities all around the country are investing in transit. You're seeing cities that used to have very little transit, not only investing in expanded bus service, rapid bus transit, light rail, even subway or elevated train service. To really get to the next level, what does Tulsa need to do to improve its transit service?
I think that to get to the next level, it's the implementation of what was in the comprehensive plan, Planet Tulsa, which is the big T. It talked about having two high-frequency, one north-south and one east-west corridor to begin getting higher-frequency service in our community. And actually, it's very, very exciting to see those projects included in the vision package, the Vision Tulsa. We got funding for the Peoria BRT, or Bus Rapid Transit. And let me just explain real quickly what that is in case someone doesn't know what that is. Not everybody knows that. It runs very much like a train in that with a train, the train runs on a rail and only stops at designated stations. And this is going to be very much like what you'll see with Bus Rapid Transit. The bus will not, of course, run on rails. It will be rubber tired, but it will run only to designated stations. And so riding that bus is going to be much quicker because you're not stopping at every block or two to pick people up. You'll be gathering people at those stations and running. We also will have service every 15 or 20 minutes, which is wildly better than anything we have in our system today. So the funding, the capital funding for the Peoria line was included in the Improve Our Tulsa. But we didn't have any money to operate it, which obviously is the next step. And so the Vision Tulsa includes money to operate the Peoria BRT, which will be our north-south corridor. And then the east-west corridor will be Route 66 or 11th Street. In this case, and I should mention that the Peoria corridor goes from 38th Street north on the north all the way to the Walmart at 81st and Lewis on the south. The Route 66 line will go out 11th Street, past Hillcrest Hospital, Tulsa Welding, TCC downtown. Let me not forget that one. TCC.
University of Tulsa.
Bama Pi, University of Tulsa. Lots of destinations on 11th Street. And also, the exciting part is that I think there's lots of opportunity for infill development and higher density development on 11th Street. It'll go out to 11th Street to Garnett, go up Garnett to 21st Street, out 21st to the Eastgate Metroplex. So obviously that thing has exploded recently. It's a great resurgence of a mall that had died, essentially. And so the opportunity to service that, lots of jobs in that area. So I think this will be a grand opportunity for people to begin to move to these corridors who have that option. People looking for a place to live will, I think, naturally begin to choose these corridors because there is high frequency transit on them and they can move about the city much more rapidly than they can today.
Now, when you talk about light rail, when a light rail system develops a new station, you certainly see that economic development. Is the same true around the country for cities that have adopted bus rapid transit?
It is. It's not to the same magnitude you would expect because, you know, fixed guideway, is so permanent that it has a greater impact, a greater economic development impact. But you will see that. And one of the exciting things that's happening that a lot of people may not know about is that the planning department of the city is doing a study around 6 or 7, I can't remember which, of these larger stations on the Peoria line to look at what are the development opportunities and how can we as a city make decisions about zoning and all the different kinds of things that will encourage the kind of economic development we want to see around those stations. So I think it's a great add-on to what's already being done that we can ensure that that economic development will happen.
I've talked to a number of light rail specialists who have said, you know, the big challenge is to get the funding for the first light rail line. And once actually people, residents of the city, see the light rail line in action, then it becomes easy to pass an expansion because they all want it near them. Is the same true for bus rapid transit? I know that's the hope, but is that in fact what's shown up in other cities?
You know, I have not seen the statistics yet. So many of these cities are just now putting in bus rapid transit or have put it in within the last year. I know that they're seeing great ridership numbers and that people are embracing those lines. Whether or not it is going to yield a vote for increased funding for the future, I think remains to be seen.
Well, at this point, Tulsa Transit is at a crossroads because you do have this permanent funding portion in the Vision Tulsa plan. And what would this funding provide? You mentioned a little bit of it. You said it will provide the way to operate the Peoria line. I assume it's going to provide both the infrastructure and the way to operate the 11th Street line?
That's correct. So we get the two BRT lines, one operating and the other capital and operating. We also get Sunday service. It will be the first time in our history. We've been an agency since 1968. It'll be the first time in our history that we'll have Sunday service, which is very exciting and probably by far the largest ask we get from our current riders. People that do not have alternative means of transportation, those who are truly transit dependent, really, really need Sunday service. And I think once we open that door and can offer the BRTs and other kinds of things on Sunday, eventually, I think we'll see that it will just become a part of the community expectation that, of course, we'll have 7-day service. We also will get the downtown circulator. Right now we have a couple of days a week. That will begin to expand. The first step in the plan is that we will get a weekday noontime, maybe 11, 1130, probably 11 to 1:30. The circulator will go through the downtown area, allowing people in the downtown, working in the downtown, to move about the downtown to go to different restaurants and different activities. They can go down to Guthrie Green and enjoy what was wonderful weather, not so much today, but in the spring is just so beautiful outside, an opportunity to get outside and do some things and enjoy the downtown area. After the lunchtime, then that would begin to expand and be an all-day, everyday downtown circulator, which will be great for people that are living in the downtown area particularly.
Now, right now, the circulator is running what, Friday and Saturday nights?
Friday and Saturday night from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m.
And so, where does the circulator go?
So it basically connects the three districts downtown, the Brady Arts District, the Deco District, and the Blue Dome District. So it goes Denver on the west, 6th Street on the south, over to Legends, trying to think of that street, Greenwood, I think, on Greenwood, the east, and then into the Brady Arts District all the way up north of the Old Lady on Brady.
So that's how that particular circulator will run in its finished capacity if you have the additional funding, or will it be expanded to?
I think that there may be, so once it becomes an all-day shuttle, there may be some different decisions. You know, when you're running, trying to just connect those three, four bars and restaurants at night, and then when you begin to say, okay, well, I've got parking places that I need to connect people into business districts, it may have a little bit different flavor. So we'll have to revisit exactly what the footprint will look like.
What's the ridership for the circulator even on Friday and Saturday night? Do people really know about it yet?
I think that we still need to do a lot of marketing because the ridership has continued to be pretty low. Now, the first weekend of the month when they have the art crawl, we get some pretty good ridership. The other weekends, it's real up and down. We still have opportunity, I think, to get the word out and get people using it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other part of Vision Tulsa will be a second circulator in Midtown, correct?
Absolutely. And this is very exciting, particularly if you are living downtown or if you're a tourist in downtown Tulsa. This gives you an opportunity to not have to take your car, but to get to a number of other destinations. So we go through the downtown area and travel up to the Gathering Place, which is going to be, in my opinion, one of the most transformational destinations that we're going to have in Tulsa. Then it will go up through Brookside, down to Utica Square, through Cherry Street, the Pearl District, and then back into downtown. So let's say I'm a tourist that has come to the city and I want to visit Utica Square. I can do that. Or I want to visit the Gathering Place. Or I'm a resident in downtown and I want to go grocery shopping. Now I have the opportunity to go to Trader Joe's on the bus. And so there's just so many opportunities, I think, as people begin to move downtown. And man, when I look at those plans for that are just currently in the hopper, it is exploding with people moving downtown. So I think this is going to give them an opportunity to expand where they can go on the bus without, you know, always having to drag their car out, or perhaps to live downtown without owning a car.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, it sounds like this is pretty downtown and midtown centric. What about the rest of the city? Is that in sort of future plans?
It is in future plans. Unfortunately, like many other agencies, the vision included only a handful of our projects, but it will, as we begin to grow, and I feel confident that over time we will begin to expand our system. But the big thing that we did not get in our ask was moving all of our routes from their current frequency to 30 minutes, which really would make a huge difference in the convenience of our transit system.
15 minutes would be better. I would say that.
15 minutes would be fabulous, but we still have several routes out there that are running once an hour.
Right.
We have four that are running every 30 minutes, and we have about four that are once
45,
an hour.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of routes that are 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a long way to go. And what is the song? A long way to go and a tough way to get there. I can't remember exactly how that goes. But it is a challenge because that's where you begin to pack in the money. You have to have more buses, more drivers. It is expensive to create the kind of frequencies that are needed. But really, we have seen in the last few years, the council's been very generous to us in helping us do some of that. 1 year we got 400,000 extra above what we ask in the budget. Another year we got 300,000. So we have been able to make a lot of frequency improvements. Those improvements absolutely result in ridership change. We have seen that.
What, give us a sense. So when you get $400,000 more and you're able to, you know, maybe add one bus on a route, what's the change in ridership?
it's hard to quantify, but we saw the ridership, for instance, go from about 17 passengers per hour to about 20 on average. And so that's a pretty significant difference. 400,000 buys you about 4 full-time buses, not quite, but a full-time bus is about $120,000 a year to run a bus all day long, and that doesn't include capital, of course.
Right.
So you can see that the incremental changes on frequency are expensive, but really, really make a difference when you look at the kind of ridership yield that we have had. We were down, I think, about 2.7 million annual passengers, and we got as high as 3.1 million. Now, we have been a little impacted by these very, very low fuel costs. I saw a statistic the other day. I wish I could remember it. But they've quantified how much ridership you lose by the amount of drop in the fuel prices. And that certainly does make a difference for us. And so, and we are seeing that. We certainly are seeing that right now. We're experiencing some ridership declines right this moment.
But the goal, though, is to become the alternative when fuel costs are high and being a service that really citizens can depend on regardless of gas price.
That's exactly right. And we absolutely want to provide high-level service for people who are transit dependent in our community. But we want also to become a transportation option of choice for people who can get their car out but choose to ride the bus, and that takes frequency. There's no question. We just recently did a study trying to figure out what we do to market to millennials, and by a mile, the answer was frequency, frequency, frequency. If it's not convenient, I'm not going to do it. And so we've got to continue to push for the kind of frequency that will get choice riders making that choice.
My guest today is Debbie Ruggles, Assistant General Manager of Tulsa Transit. She'll be participating in an Oklahoma Watch public forum tonight at 6 o'clock at the Central Center, along with James Wagner from NCOG. That's at Central Park right around 6th and Peoria. They'll be talking about the future of public transit. And, of course, Tulsa Transit is included in the Vision Tulsa sales tax plan with a permanent tax for transit. It's not a large tax, but it's a small start, and it will provide for bus rapid transit, providing operating funds for the Peoria bus rapid transit, where development's already underway, mm-hmm. and then also providing a second bus rapid transit route along 11th Street. So you'll have this east-west-north-south connector. I guess it's pretty much a demonstration project for the future of transit mm-hmm. with bus rapid transit. Let me ask you, Debbie. You were talking about times of 45 minutes on most mm-hmm. routes, an hour on some, 30 minutes on others. Where do we stack up compared to what you would consider our peer cities as far as transit? Are we behind? Are we ahead? Are we in the middle of the pack somewhere?
We're definitely behind. Unfortunately, we're probably in the bottom 25%. The exciting part about the dedicated funding, even though it isn't as large, of course, as we think we need or would like, it is a start and is the first dedicated funding we've had in our history. And so it gives us an opportunity to begin to look different. We probably are one of the largest transit agencies in America without a dedicated funding source. Even Baton Rouge, Louisiana has a tax for their public transit system. And I think, gosh, that we really are behind if we're behind Baton Rouge, Louisiana. No slam on Baton Rouge. I'm sure I've never been there. I'm sure it's a fine city, but certainly not the size that we are. And so, or at least I don't think they are. And so, we just have a long way to go. But the thing about getting a dedicated funding source is that even though it's not as big as we need, once you have it, you have the opportunity to grow it. And I'm hopeful that as we demonstrate the effectiveness of bus rapid transit in our community and the circulator, that people will begin to see that transit is transformational for a lot of people in our community and will want to continue to grow that so we have more opportunities. There's one more thing in the vision that I haven't mentioned yet that I'd like to talk about is the transit hub, because this is, again, an opportunity, I think, for the future. The transit hub that's included is not, there's not going to be one built with this money. There's $14.5 million in our funding package that is for a transit hub. And it's basically money that will begin to do a study to decide exactly where that needs to be. And this will be a multimodal transportation hub. We'll want to locate it along a rail line.
Right. I was just going to say, when Councilor Blake Ewing brought up this transit hub sort of towards the end of the vision process, a lot of people were saying, what does he mean by a transit hub? So I assume it's a place where buses will gather. If you have a light rail or even passenger rail coming to Tulsa, it will be that place where that rail stop happens.
Yes.
Explain what it is.
Well, let me describe one that they have in Fort Worth that I think is fabulous, that in my mind we would want to model. They have commuter rail that takes you, the TRE that takes you to between Dallas and Fort Worth. They have they will eventually have light rail. I think they're getting closer to that all the time. They have the Amtrak that comes through there. They have all of their buses. They have their downtown circulator comes through there. They have a kiss and what do they call it? Kiss and drop area where people can drop people, you know, people to ride down there. They've got bike share. They've got Uber stands, taxi stands. They have a car rental place in there. They've got some restaurants. So it really is the be-all and end-all transportation. And this is what I think we need in Tulsa. We need the place that will set us up for future rail operations, bus, Uber, bike share, car rental, everything that you can imagine, transportation in one facility. And this funding will allow us to do the plan or the study that would say, where does it need to be exactly along the rail corridor? What does it need to look like? And then perhaps some money for some land acquisition and even some money for local match money for available grants that we might be able to apply for.
Now, I want to mention one other thing that's in the overall Vision Tulsa plan, which is in the Category 3, which I believe the hub is. Is the hub in under the transit?
The hub is actually in the streets and transportation.
Okay.
It was at one time down in the economic development side, but at the kind of at the last minute, it was moved up into streets and transportation.
Okay. So that's under Proposition 2.
Yes.
And Proposition 3 is the economic development plan. And there,
yes,
you're going to see the first demonstration project of the GO plan, which is the pedestrian bike plan. And the plan is to, along with the, if Proposition 2, your transit initiative passes, you'll be building stations along 11th Street. And at the same time, you'll see this new pedestrian bike master plan go into effect along 11th Street. What is that likely to do for not only ridership at Tulsa Transit, but just for the transportation along 11th Street?
Well, it is what's described as a complete street. And every street in Tulsa needs to be a complete street. We need to not just build streets for cars. We need to build streets for people, for buses and for pedestrians and for bicyclists. All can share that roadway. And that's exciting about the opportunity for 11th Street to look like that. I am a huge proponent of pedestrian and bicycle access. Every bus rider, before they got on that bus, was a pedestrian or a bicyclist first. And so it's very exciting that we as a community are embracing the opportunity to build out our infrastructure much better than we've done in the past to allow for better pedestrian and bicycle access.
Do you have a lot of riders now? You know, when you see a bus, you'll see a few bikes on the rack. Do you have riders that will say maybe go to work in the morning on the bus and then ride home in the afternoon?
We do. Today would be a great example, for instance. When I went to work, it wasn't raining. But when I look at the forecast for today, when people get off at 5 o'clock today, it's going to be raining. Great day to throw that bike on that you rode just fine into work this morning, but a great day to throw it on the bus and not have to ride it home. We have a lot of that. We probably have around an average of 150 bikes a day on our buses. So people are either doing the one-way thing that you're talking about, or they're using it to ride to the bus. So, you know, a mile with a walk seems like a little long for people, but if you're on a bike, it certainly cuts that time down.
One last question that has to do with the bus systems, the transit's own master plan. How will passage of this dedicated tax affect that build out down the road? I mean, you're planning on additional bus rapid transits if voters and basically the public take to this as you think they will.
Absolutely. There are, in the plan, there are two additional BRTs or bus rapid transit lines. One would be a north-south. One would be east-west. We do not know exactly where those might be. I would guess you might look at a Memorial or a Garnet, but somewhere further east, of course. On the south side, you might look at 71st has lots of reasons to be the line and lots of reasons to be a challenge. And so it's you know, I always want to say it's 71st Street, and then I think about all the challenges on 71st Street. And, you know, but maybe it could be a solution for some of those challenges. Maybe people would begin to ride that line and reduce a lot of the travel, a lot of the traffic that you see on 71st Street. So I don't know exactly where they would be, but certainly that is the plan, to build out a couple of more bus rapid transit lines, and then, of course, to continue to add frequency to our overall system as funding allows.
All right. Well, you can learn more at the Oklahoma Watch Public Forum tonight at 6 o'clock at the Central Center at Central Park. Debbie Ruggles, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Debbie Ruggles is the Assistant General Manager of Tulsa Transit. Vision Tulsa goes before Tulsa voters on April 5th, which includes a permanent sales tax for both street maintenance and traffic, as well as Tulsa Transit operations, consisting of a 0.085% sales tax. She'll be participating tonight in an Oklahoma Watch public forum at 6 o'clock at Central Center at Central Park at 6th and Peoria, along with James Wagner from NCOG, talking about the future of transit in Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.